Our scripture reading on this Lord's Day is one I specifically chose. I thought it was very appropriate for World Communion Sunday, so I invite you to hear these two verses as I read them to you out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, and they are verses 9 and 10. I invite you to listen for the word of God to you. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I know this doesn't come as a news flash to anyone. I've looked at the Bible a time or two. I've had some great trainings from biblical experts, and they have astounded me with their scholarship. I have bookshelves at home filled with commentaries, and they hold great insights. But you know, I never came across Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 10, until a clergy friend of mine pointed it out to me, and I came away from these two verses saying, wow, wow. I also have to say, Leviticus has never been one of my favorite books. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone say, oh, I'm so excited to read about boils and how you can decide whether they are a sign of leprosy or not? Read Leviticus, you find a lot about that. Or I haven't remembered a time when someone says, oh, I love all of this talk about rituals and what is clean and unclean. I think I'll read a little bit more about that before I retire at night. Hasn't happened in my book. But Leviticus 19, 9 to 10, it's just astounding. It's astounding to modern ears. And I think it has to have been astounding to ears of all ages, of all times, especially when you think seriously about what those verses say. Now, I'd like to share those two verses with you in a little bit more of a contemporary way, in a way that has feeling to it, perhaps. Hear these words. Dear farmer, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to look out over your crop? After all, you have worked so very hard. You remember all the blood and the sweat and the toil you put into that precious plot of land, and now the reward is great. It's time to get out there and harvest away. But here's the thing. You need to remember to do something. You need to remember how important it is not to harvest right up to the edge of your field. You need to leave right there a nice kind of margin space. And that margin space is there so that people who are in need can come and eat. And you know you harvest and you go through once and still there's a lot of good stuff left there. Well, leave it. Leave it all so that those who are in need can enjoy and come to eat. Don't go back and get the rest, as you usually do. Let others go out and have at it. Otherwise, you are just taking food out of the mouths of those who are hungry, and often, believe it or not, they're hungry not by their own choosing. Let your field be a place of one big hearty welcome. You grape growers, same goes for you. All is God's anyway. And by the way, it's me, God, telling you this. Now, I can't imagine any farmer or vineyard owner really liking those words, and they are hard to wrap our minds around. I mean, it's a big struggle for us, right? And at first glance, do you really think much of them? We're not used to making that large shift in our brains, right? I mean, our property is our property. Our boundaries are our boundaries. Our lines are our lines. We draw worthy lines around stuff because, after all, we've earned what we have, right? It's good. It's good to be charitable, of course, but this is going pretty far, wouldn't you say? What about give a person a fish and they eat for a day? Teach a person to fish and they eat for a lifetime? What about the best way often is maybe like to set up a farmer school? Teach people how they themselves can farm so that they can enjoy a harvest like we enjoy a harvest. That's, after all, so sustainable. But whatever happened to the idea, too, of people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps? You know what I picture? I'm picturing our ever-present God hearing all of that, hearing those kinds of things, making sure that we get everything out on the table, we show our cards, as it were, and then very kindly, very gently, without recrimination, softly whispering in our ear, "Tell me, friend, you say let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. What if the they you are talking about, don't even have boots?" Now, I need to come clean. I need to tell you that there is evidence that Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, those verses were never, ever, from everyone's knowledge, they were never followed in a thoroughgoing way in the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish history. And don't you think it's probably because of the fact that it's just too hard, just too hard? It's so counterintuitive to human nature. I mean, who really can do that? Who really can do that kind of thing? And yet, that doesn't mean here that we don't hear God's dream for humanity. That ideal, at a very basic level, is like saying to a toddler, "Sharing is caring." That ideal is like saying to adults, "Everything is God's anyway. We might as well do what we can to help others in whatever way we can." Now, if we want to argue, well, we just should keep all our stuff for us. We've earned it after all. We should be able to keep our boundaries and edges firm and secure and in place and entrenched. Maybe we would be better off reading Get Rich Quick in 5 Easy Steps rather than the Bible. So World Communion Sunday, it's just an amazing day. We're consciously realizing that the heart of the Christian tradition is unity, and we think of all the churches around the world that are celebrating just as we are celebrating today. We think of the ancient history behind communion, and that was a wonderful children's time that Michael told because it reminds us of the bread that was always on the table in Solomon's temple. And here today, in 2017, we are doing what we are doing. Christendom has a long arc. A long-sustained arc, and throughout that long-sustained arc has always been this emphasis on doing to others as Jesus would ask of us. Serving the least is serving Jesus himself. We say people will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is our Lord's table. This feast has been prepared for you. Life is a feast to be shared. It's a novel thought in a world where people sort themselves out, where people categorize themselves, be it because of race, or be it because of class, or be it because of how much money that people have. Political affiliation, all sorting. And yet I believe we are called not to just cross boundaries, but to dissolve them. There's certainly a difference, right? And such a fundamental way of dissolving boundaries is to look through the lens of where is the need, rather than the lens of I have to take care of my own stuff all the time. One is that no edges perspective. The other is a perspective that always has an edge to it in many different ways. Think deeply about the oneness that we highlight today, and it's so captured in Paul's words in his letter to the church at Galatia. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Beautiful words. A great book for children is Where Does God Live? It was written by Rabbi Mark Gelman and Father Tom Hartman years ago now, and I love their answer to the child's question, why can't we see God? It's really simple, they say. We can only see things which have edges, and God has no edges. Everything we can see has edges. People and birds and dogs and boats and trees all have edges. So we can see just where they start and where they stop. But God does not stop anywhere. No. When you live everywhere, you have no edges because everywhere has no edges. Really, it's very simple. God is everywhere, so God can't have edges that would divide the place where God is from the place where God isn't. If you could see God, God would probably be so huge that God would block your view of everything else. So when you think about it, it's pretty good news that God has no edges. No person is more special than any other person. So when you see somebody walking down the street, you should think, there goes somebody special walking down the street. All of us are special. And that's the main reason we should be kind to one another. God has no edges. All of us are special. And that is the main reason we should be kind to one another. And be kind to especially those whose very lives depend on us. Not grasping on to what we feel we are owed or what we have with white knuckles. But instead, letting generosity rule the day. I believe we are called to do nothing else in the name of love. For the sake of love, by the one who is love. In this world, Communion Sunday, let us recommit ourselves to this most difficult, most excellent way. Amen. Let us pray. O God of our lives, help us see in our own lives the fact that you have no edges. Help us learn and grow in the ways that you challenge us so that we can meet the needs that you place before us this day and all days. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.